This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station. Ringgit and Cents on BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 9:35 in the morning. You're listening to Ringgit and Cents, which is a show all about personal finance. And it's the last Thursday of the month, which means today is Ringgit Ringin. I'm Julian Ng. Thanks for joining us. And today, our professional financial planner joining us to answer your question. Your questions are VP Tanga, ED of Blueprint Planning, who's he's also a licensed financial planner. Good morning, Tanga.
Good morning, Julian. Thank you.
So if you have any questions, call us at 03-7710-9000 or text us at 0162-201-9000. Also tweet us at BFM Radio. Tanga, of course, we've all had a chance to assess the situation after Brexit, that really seismic event that happened last week where UK voters voted to leave the European Union. We already have some questions here. Let's start off with this one. Is it a good time now to invest in the pound sterling?
Very good question. Whenever such situations happens in, you know, even in the past, people always, you know, say zoom in and say, okay, can I put all the money, you know, into such currencies, you know? Go back to the financial planning method of handling personal financial matters. I think that whatever it is definitely not advisable to put all your money into pounds. And then it also depends on how much excessive money that you have in order for you to consider to putting into pounds. It's undeniable that from 5.8, it is now, today is about 5.3 something. So, but what my advice will be, you have to do a calculation. Maybe, you know, the whole whatever amount that you have, maybe 1-2% of whatever you have, maybe you can put. But the thing is, don't ever put all your this thing converted to even into pound today. In fact, you know, so there are a lot of questions, you know, where the students are also studying in Britain, where the parents are because they paid the premium when the ringgit dropped. You know, they actually didn't expect and they paid more. So now, what my suggestion is, you can leverage by maybe convert some of the this thing now and then just see how it goes, because nobody can predict when is the bottom, and nobody can predict whether it will go down further. Mm-hmm. So it is, you are going to take higher risk if you're going to convert all the money today. So it is like staggered conversion will be a better choice.
So now there are two issues here. One is for just pure investment or speculation, as the case may be. Mm. And the other one is preparing for your education. Now, on the former issue, I'm reminded by what this other financial author, Jason Zweig, he says that the perfect answer when somebody asks him whether to invest in this or that is that I don't know and I don't care.
Yeah, right? Definitely.
And he's saying that because he's saying that you have to have a very well-diversified investment, and your investments should be based on your risk preference and your needs.
Yes.
And therefore, you might not actually be making a bet on the pound, but you're really making decisions about your life, isn't it?
Exactly, Julian. Because that's the thing. Because people, when they post these questions, you know, I always say that I don't know, because I don't have a crystal ball to look at what is going to happen. So that is why we always fall back on the planning part. When my financial planning clients ask, they usually don't ask these things because they know what to do, because we already pre-planned. But sometimes off the cuff, somebody, you know, due to some situation, they ask. But I always fall back to the plan and see where is the, see whether it is viable for them. And most of the time, it is not. You know, that you shouldn't, like, you must put in and things like that. So it's very dangerous, to say that, you know, somebody asks, oh, you can and you cannot.
So in the short term, in the very short term, this position that people are thinking of making in the pound sterling, is that a gamble, a bet, or an investment?
Definitely, it's a gamble.
It can go either way.
Yes. That is why you are taking very high risk. It's a very, very high risk without knowing what is going to happen. You see, so if you are ready for that, I mean, nobody stops you, but okay. It's all depend on you.
Let's take this other connected question. There's another question that came in about studying in the United Kingdom. He says that I study in the UK and have been given the option to either pay my school fees in a lump sum or in monthly installments. And this is, of course, pound sterling related. Mm. What should I do?
Currently,
yeah.
Is it? Okay. Yeah, that's the thing that I mentioned just now. You can, you see, if you feel that this 5.8 to 5.3 is a very good difference, then you may take a choice to pay in full. But then you shouldn't be regret if it goes further down. Is it? Or you can say that you can talk to your universities and ask for them, let's say, maybe two payments. You see, 50-50. So you can at least secure 50%, and then the 50%, you may take the risk. So it all depends on the...
Okay, so if we look at the pound sterling movement since Brexit, it has moved from about 5.95 to today about 5.40. So that's a huge, almost 50, 60 cent savings.
Yes, yes.
And this question is slightly different from the previous one, which is you think is kind of like a gamble or a bet, right?
To
whether or not to buy into the British pound today. But this question is about education and about saving that big percentage of more than 10% saving. Yes. Is it a gamble then to not pay it in one lump sum now since you've gotten the savings?
Yeah, I mean, you see... Again, it's a bit. You see, if it drops further, let's say it drops to 5 ringgit, then you shouldn't regret. You see, if you pay lump sum today, of course you are going to gain, and you're going to not only gain now, you are going to leverage whatever premium that you paid earlier. So I feel that you can if you feel that you want to pay, yes, but then. Again, you shouldn't get regret if you go further down.
So as a parent, Tanga, are you a parent?
Yes.
So what would you do if your children were studying in the UK?
I will take the chance, say I pay now.
Lump sum, right? So that's the more conservative action to take.
Yes, conservative action,
This is Ringgit and Ringin, and that's happening every last Thursday of the month. Call us if you have any personal financial questions, 0377109000. That's the number to call. Text us at 0162019000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Tanga, related to the question of education, recently HSBC did a survey that made big headlines that more than half of Malaysian parents are willing to go into debt for their kids' education. Now, we have another question here saying that this person spends 14,000 a year sending his child to a private school. I think the child is a young child, so this is primary education. 14,000 a year seems like a very expensive fees to pay for school. And here's the kicker. I'm using credit cards to fund this. Is this the best way?
Oh, that's the worst thing to do. You see, I have experienced a lot of experience in this area because... we have clients who definitely they would like to send their children for the better education, if not the best or better education. For some reason, they want to go to international or private, more of international. I think this client must be more of international, not private. Because international, even primary school, even kindergarten, it's about 11 to 14,000 a year. And the inflation is more than, I just did one of these things, it's more than about 8% a year. So if you want to send your children, deciding to send your children to international school, please do a very thorough homework on your forecast, on your income, on your cash flow. Because usually a financial planner will be able to forecast, the expected expenses until they finish their studies, their secondary and go to university, because they have to go to a private university locally or in overseas. So the cost will be in millions. Let me tell you, it's not like 2 days you can afford to pay 11,000 or 14,000. That's immaterial. But then when the cost increases, do you have that kind of savings or investments in place, or even your income is going to increase? And on this client particularly, using credit card is even worse because he's going to pay another 18% on that 14,000.
What are the other options that are available to this person?
Okay, first of all, even before, because he's already sending the child, is a bit, I think, I don't know, you have to sit and really look at your cash flow and your investments holding for this purpose and when you need the money and all that. Then you decide, okay. let's say if he's able, then fine. But let's say if he's not, then maybe you can postpone, not from young. Maybe after primary.
Now, this is a very big problem for the country because a lot of parents, not all of them are well off when they send their kids to private school because they worry about the standards of public education
in Malaysia.
They think that the quality is deteriorating, it's coming down. So what should these parents do? Should they think about their own financial well-being or think about the education quality of their children?
It's like you're asking, is it right eye is important or left eye is important?
Absolutely.
Both are important.
Yeah.
Both are important. Now you have to give the priority. I've asked some parents. In fact, I even asked them to sort of reconsider even sending their children to certain countries, which is more expensive, even like Britain. You know, so we can guide them. We can show them that is it possible? You see, what you want is one thing and what is possible is another thing. So we cannot, you must have a realistic goal.
Mm-hmm.
And if let's say you really want to send, then you we check whether are you prepared or not.
We had recently an interview with Aaron Tang, or otherwise known as Mr. Stingy. He used credit cards to pay off his students' debt, right? These are free balance transfers with either zero or low interest rate.
Mm.
Is that an option for this person who used his credit card?
That is, you see, look at his situation. It is, he's having a short-term loan and it's already fixed amount. But in this case, it's going to be a long-term commitment. So how far you want to flip-flop from one card to another? And if you are doing that every now and then, I think the whole banking system will know about it because the data is, they can access to it. So they may even don't want to entertain you.
Mm-hmm.
So you are taking a very, very high risk. And then, so instead, that's why I'm telling you, instead of you starting from young, maybe let him finish the primary education or maybe even Form 3. After that, you consider that so you will also buy time.
And we have a caller. Brenda, please ask your question. Brenda, are you on the line?
Hi, morning.
Hi,
good morning.
Hello. I'm currently 21 and I'm about to graduate from my university soon. And I'm thinking of starting to invest. But should I start investing like myself or should I go through a financial intermediary?
So you're asking whether you should invest on your own or get advice, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, Tanga. What's your answer?
Okay, thank you, Brenda. Okay, definitely it will be better if you consult a licensed financial advisor because he or she will be able to guide you. Because I always say that, it's like when you when you drive, we definitely have a blind spot. So if you were to do on your own, of course you can. It's not that you can't. But then you may miss some of the essential part of investment or even financial planning for that matter. So it will be advisable to go to a licensed advisor to get the advice and then start off your what you call investments and your financial journey. And I'm very happy for you because at this young age, you already started to think ahead of your financial journey. So congratulations, Brenda. All the best to you.
And of course, we know we've covered before where to find information about financial planners. You can go to the Securities Commission website and they will list a whole list of them. We won't go through that today. But really, right now, the real question is it really expensive to get advice from a financial advisor?
Okay. It depends on the model of the certain firms. It range from a couple of hundred just to advise on certain products, on certain, modular planning. Because we also understand and we feel that we should encourage more youngsters to come and seek advice. Because if we can guide these youngsters today, then we will have a better, nation in the future.
So when you say a few hundred ringgit in terms of advisory fees, is that cheap or is that expensive?
Oh, it depends on the value of the client going to get. You see, it's very subjective, because when they see the benefit, I have young clients who pay a couple of thousand because they see the.
So if I just want to invest my money, right? Let's say I have 10 or 20,000 as a young graduate. I'm not a young graduate, but I'm asking on behalf of 10 to 20,000, and if they had to pay 200 or 300 ringgit in financial advisory fees, is that considered cheap or expensive?
It is very cheap, because we are not just going to look into the 10 or 20,000 alone. We are also going into some of your objectives, some of your risk tolerance, you know, your short term, long term, and mid term. So we will be sometimes, to your surprise, they may say that they have 20,000, but after we do our discussion, we may find out that it is not 20,000, but it's only 10,000 they can invest.
Yeah.
Because they have other commitments. There's a blind spot. They don't see that. So looking at that, it's a couple of hundred, I think, it's very, very reasonable.
So Brenda, take note of that. It may do you some good to seek some advice and pay some fees for that. We have some more questions coming in, and this is from this person named Tom. He has just inherited about 20,000 ringgit. He's a bachelor and in his mid-20s. A lot of young people writing in today and calling in. What should he do with that money? Should he even spend it at all? So a lot of young people thinking about the money that they have, which is a good thing.
See, it's good to see, you know, people like Tom to have a couple of thousands in hand. Whenever I talk to my young clients, I always said, what do you want to achieve in 5 years, 10 years' time? And sometimes they may not have an idea. So we will help them to look into the possibilities of where they want to go. So when we put that goals in place, then we have a very clear picture what we can do with that money. Is it sometimes, for example, let's say he's young and he want to pursue his higher education. And it is like immediate, for example, then you may need use that money for that and not investing.
That's a very good point, because investing in an education, while it's not a hard financial investment, is also investing. It's a kind of investment in yourself.
Yes, it's very subject. That's why until I meet the person and talk to them, so I don't know whether this actual money that they thinking that it is for investment, is it like it's a direct investment or is for something else? Is it so? It depends.
Yeah, and it also depends on whether you have a dire situation at a time, whether you need to make ends meet. That would be another reason not to put your money away in investments.
I can give you one more example. Let's say when I go through his financial current situation. Let's say I found out that he got some credit card balance. Assuming, let's say, 10, 15,000. So which is your priority? You want to go for investment or you want to settle? So it is not, it's very subjective. So until unless we look at it, it's very hard to, you know, advise on that.
Okay, we have another very interesting question coming in. Hi, Tanga. I'm a single woman in my early 30s. I have a shopping addiction where I use a retail therapy to feel better. I know I have a problem, but what can I do to change my behavior? And this person signs off as Carrie Bradshaw in KL.
Okay, Carrie. Not only you. I mean, many people have this issue. Whenever they go for shopping, this is how I practice. You know, I wrote it, write it down. You know, even when... I write it down and say, okay, these are the things that I'm going to buy, you know. And of course, at the beginning, it's going to be a bit challenging because of the habits for maybe you've developed for so many years, you know, for 30 over years. But then when you consciously do that, of course, after some time, you may, get rid of that habit.
Do you think this is beyond the realm of financial advisors and into something that's addiction? Addiction is something in the domain of psychologists.
Yeah. Actually, a financial advisor is not just looking at the facts and figures. We are actually also going further. Sometimes we do, engage in counseling on the financial part. And these are the habits. Actually, the most challenging part for a financial advisor is to change the habits of the client. And in survey shows that if it is above 40, age of 40, it's a bit difficult. So she's in not 40 yet. So I think it's she has a very high chance for changing her habit. And seek an advice from a licensed person. I mean, they should be able to guide.
Yeah, get some counselling. I hope that answers your question, Kerry Bradshaw in KL. And that's all the questions that we have for this session of Ringgit Ringin. Don't forget to check in with us again the last Thursday of next month. That's all we have for you this morning, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.